You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Six months, 82 games, and finally, the postseason is here. First up, the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament. For this, the rules are simple. Win to get in. Eight teams battle to earn their playoff spot in a win-or-go-home style tournament that is bound to be full of highlights, excitement, and drama. There's no better way to set the tone for the playoffs than this, so make sure you don't miss the action. Watch TNT's coverage of the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament on April 16th and 19th on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I wanted to share Roger Sherman's tweet because if you don't know, Roger Sherman is a former coworker of ours who writes about college football for a website. And
for
he
Obi
is...
Lobby.
He's currently in Ireland for Nebraska Northwestern.
Oh, no. We got to stop doing this to Roger.
No, Roger needs to travel because...
He likes going places.
Let's talk about the last time we sent Roger abroad.
Roger has very little ability to navigate simple navigational situations.
Y'all know that dude on Indiana Jones who got lost in his own museum? What's his name? Marcus?
Yeah.
Okay, that's Roger.
Yeah, exactly.
In like 30 years, that's Roger, if he lives that long.
Roger shows up to anywhere in the world and is like, oh, that's neat. Wow, they got this. Like, he is the idiot abroad at all times. And
he's the anti-ugly American because he's genuinely like, that's awesome.
He's very happy. But
what has he found in Ireland?
So, in Ireland, ahead.
The worst thing I've seen in Ireland so far is Nebraska beat writers.
He's found out that people learning to drive in Ireland have to put a big red N sticker on the back of their car for novice.
Mm-hmm. For 2 years. You have to do this for 2 years.
Yes. You have to do this for 2 years. And it looks exactly like the Nebraska N. Like, for real, it looks like... I'm showing... You can't see it. It's on... There we go. Hopefully.
In Florida, when you get a driver's license, they're like, as long as you have a fake ID, also, here's an unregistered firearm to go with it. This is a thank you.
Yeah, a machete under the seat. The real Florida-like thing of having the massive knife under the seat.
But Ireland's all like, we're going to scarlet letter your car for 2 years.
So they know you're an idiot.
Your car has committed adultery.
As opposed to America, where they're like, you're an idiot. We need to conceal this at all times. Give you the same license. Same thing. Covert idiots all over the place. No, in Ireland, they're like, yeah, you're dumb. Here, just take it. So they've put these stickers all over the place. So now, when Nebraska takes the field, it's going to look like they're novice football players, which, thank you for properly labeling the Cornhuskers. Last, Ireland. Someone finally did it.
The term we prefer is amateurs.
Amateur, that's right. Amateurs.
Scholar they're called athletes. Student athletes.
That's right.
So yeah, there have been stories of Nebraska fans walking around like, oh, look at us. We've already taken the place over. And we could just let them think that. They had a bad time last year.
So on the topic of Ireland, this is a little sensitive, but I think we should just like address it right now.
Okay. All right. Yeah, let's get into it.
Can we decide as a show how we feel about Notre Dame this year? I know where Spencer is. I know that Spencer is just never going to...
I think you may have been out. We kind of already got into this a couple weeks ago. I think Spencer Ryan, I think you were out for this one. The TLDR is that Spencer remains unchanged, and Jason and I have both evolved towards being kind of okay with Notre Dame because Brian Kelly's gone.
Okay. Is that the line that we are adopting, that Notre Dame is kind of okay?
Yeah, I think Holly and I are feeling very ecumenical toward Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm. We have servants' hearts.
I ask because the sense I have gotten from our most online Notre Dame friends, and yes, I'm talking about Jess, is that Notre Dame fans don't actually want this. Don't want us to.
Well, then it's a win-win.
I mean, that's not a problem for every non-Jess Notre Dame fan that I know and non-Golic Notre Dame fan that I know. That's not a problem. Their own personalities generally do take care of that for us.
Like, Jess, am I wrong? It feels like Notre Dame is like, no, Notre Dame fans at least are like, no, stop it.
I think there are some that are like, leave us alone. Like, if you can't handle us at our Brian Kelly purple on the sideline being a jerk to Everett Golson, you don't deserve us at our Marcus Freeman in a white pullover in Vegas with aviators on. But that's not me, Ryan. I want everyone to like me and my team at all times because I'm a dumb baby. Yeah. Especially you, Ryan. I've always sought your approval for some reason, probably because you hired me for my first grown-up job. And I just want to know how you really feel about me and Notre Dame. Because Ryan, you're playing both sides.
First of all, it might be my internet, but it sounds like she's T-Pain right now, which is just incredible.
Yeah.
So you want my personal approval vis-a-vis a football team you don't play for?
Correct. What's weird about that?
This is adding a lot of emotional layers I was not prepared for.
Ryan, this is how college football works.
And Catholicism. Mm-hmm.
The entire thing.
Yeah.
I think so the idea that us being okay with Notre Dame would annoy lots of Notre Dame fans, that's the best of all worlds right there. Like, I'm going to start stumping for Notre Dame to the playoff. I mean, I do that anyway because it's fun to watch them lose by 35 points. But this is a win-win. I don't have to be mad about them. And that makes Notre Dame fans mad. This is perfect.
Jason is the guy urging his friend up at the tough man competition against the pro boxer. Get in there.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
You can do it.
It'll go great.
I say every year when Notre Dame is 12-0 and they've played like one good team, I'll put them in the playoff. Why not? It'll be great.
I am also now just seeing, and I apologize for being late on this, Notre Dame is number 5 right now.
Someone had to be number 5.
Okay.
There won't be number 5 after they play Ohio State, but someone had to be number 5 in the preseason polls.
Technically, that's true.
Yeah, someone has to be number 5. Number 5's also, by the way, that number can mean whatever you want because the playoff is only 4 teams at this point. So number 5 is the respect spot. Hey, congrats. You're very good. Not a playoff
team.
I'm
fine with that spot. I'll take the respect spot every year.
It's actually a beautiful slot there because you are acknowledged as being among the elite in college football, but you can mine maximum disrespect from being just outside of the playoff.
Okay, so right now, as we're recording this, Notre Dame is 5th in the rankings. USC is 14th. That's the last game of the season for the Irish. Which ranking will be most ridiculous in retrospect by the time that game comes around? The 5 or the 14?
Because who is USC playing out of conference this season?
This one.
Let's look. I should know this. Rice, Fresno State, and Notre Dame are there.
Oh, God.
Out of conference. So they don't have Fresno State. Like, can be a scrappy team.
Yeah, that's
Rice
true.
Rice is not.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we had Petro Papadakis on recently, and he lives in LA and played for SC, and he was pretty down on their team skill level because he's like, just because they got Lincoln Riley this year, they still don't really have like good dudes.
It is very USC right now is very much a like the first time you're like, I'm gonna draft my own team in Madden, and it's like, oh, I got like 5 awesome wide receivers and I don't have any guards, none. I can't even fill that role. On the one of the wide receivers has to play guard, as it turns out. It might work.
They're losing that game against Fresno State.
Why?
Jake Hainer, baby.
Jake Hainer is Jake a god.
Jake Hainer is
a
god.
If he can keep all his internal organs inside his body for four quarters.
Yeah. Jake Hainer
2021 People's Heisman, Jake Hainer.
Yeah. Jake Hainer sells every sack like he's just been shot. And usually it's like, and then he gets up and throws a TD. He is like the best drama you can watch in college football is watching Jake Hainer play quarterback, particularly if it's like 11:30 and he's down 21 to Nevada and they've got 7 minutes left.
6 months, 82 games, and finally the postseason is here. First up, the SoFi NBA play-in tournament. For this, the rules are simple. Win to get in. Eight teams battle to earn their playoff spot in a win-or-go-home style tournament that is bound to be full of highlights, excitement, and drama. There's no better way to set the tone for the playoffs than this, so make sure you don't miss the action. Watch TNT's coverage of the SoFi NBA play-in tournament on April 16th and 19th on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Don Levitard.
The best nugget that Stan Van Gundy has regarding defense is
Stugatz.
How the top defensive teams in the league defend now goes against conventional wisdom. Most teams seem to focus on stopping the three, but the top three defensive teams in the league, Milwaukee, Indiana, and Boston. Hey, listen, this is 2 weeks in a row of you guys messing with my nuggets. Like, I'm starting to get pissed off here now. This is ridiculous. No respect whatsoever. None. Oh, my God. This is awful.
All right. Wait a minute. Respect the Nuggets, Mike.
Kidding.
I know.
I am a dignified NBA fired coach who deserves, well, probably the respect that I'm getting. But nonetheless, I want to be treated with more respect.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Fresno State has one of the weirdest stretches of road games I think I've seen in a minute. They play at USC on September 17th.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks later, they go to UConn.
What?
And then the next week, they go to Boise State.
They're just delivering drugs. Like, if you go to the middle of Connecticut and Boise in the same month, all you're doing is moving.
What drugs?
Precursor.
They're from Fresno. All of them.
Yeah. It's like drugs Gatlinburg.
That's all you're doing. It's the most profitable football program in America. Don't look at the books.
Ryan, I think in terms of Notre Dame or USC, the two teams I feel least inclined to predict in any way this year, probably USC and Colorado State, teams that are just bringing, just import roster. They just like control C, control V roster. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know how that goes. Could be great, could be fine. But yeah, if USC finished 14th, it wouldn't feel like a surprise.
So the sentence coming out of my mouth is the one that Jessica wants to hear, which is USC is really going to drag down Notre Dame's strength of schedule. That's what we're saying.
I'm fine with that. It's happened. Yeah. It's happened a lot the last 10 years. I'm fine with it. The one I'm not fine with, Navy. Get Navy out of here. No more Navy. Just in general.
But that's not a
what
game
about
that
oceans?
Has been that
getting
tricky.
Rid of oceans
like,
too?
Like mm-hmm. that hasn't been that tricky for Notre Dame in recent years.
How will we defend our seas without a Navy?
Seas, D's. I don't know, Ryan. It kind of has. I think there was, I was explaining this to Whittingham yesterday, actually. We were talking about the Navy-Notre Dame rivalry, and I was like, if Notre Dame beats a decent Navy team, it's like, well, you should have beaten them because they're Navy. And if they lose to a decent Navy team or even a good or bad Navy team, it's like, well, Notre Dame should never lose that game. So now you guys are out of the top 25.
But it's about, like, patriotism and tradition and stuff, and is, you know, don't those things have, no, those things don't have value. Sorry.
Notre Dame is 9-1 against Navy in the last 10 games that they've played. And the last three games they've won by, Notre Dame's won by 22, 32, and 28.
But the emotional toll, Ryan, and the injury toll.
Come on. It is true. They dive sideways at your knees for four quarters.
Come on.
No one likes playing the option. For America.
Can I interrupt this with breaking news again?
Breaking news.
Mm-hmm. Is this about Kristen
Hawk Commander 1?
No. It's more important than that. Thank you to reader Terry Boudain for alerting us to the continuation of the Auburn-UCF rivalry. Auburn invented space, says Auburn University's College of Engineering official account. Y'all familiar with the Artemis rocket that's launching Monday to the moon and back? Well, the deputy director of the NASA's of the Marshall Space Flight Center went to Auburn, and he has this to say. War Eagle is written somewhere inside that vehicle. I'm not going to say where or who put it there, but I can assure you War Eagle is there. Do we want to associate Auburn with life and death space missions?
I was going to say that rocket's blowing up. Yeah.
If you look at the early history of like NASA's manned rocket program, it looks like an Auburn record a lot of the time.
Kind of.
And we've got like, liftoff. You know, oh no!
Like y'all keep doing, like much like the space program, y'all keep doing this to yourself.
Yeah, if you include Russia in there, like yeah, mm-hmm. if you just read through the wiki of space rocket launches, man. Like there are points where it's like struck the moon is an incredible success.
Also, if you tell me Laika started at quarterback for Auburn for two seasons.
That is the founding mascot of the Auburn School of Exploding Dogs.
I have seen many Auburn quarterbacks put out there with no return plans. So, yes, mm-hmm. the like of quarterbacks. Mm-hmm.
Just sort of floating out there.
I'm going to say something I might regret. What's so great about space? Like, why are all these schools trying to...
Oh, brother, here we go.
What is so great about claiming space? There's nothing there.
There's so much of it, though.
There's so much nothing.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Florida Gator shill Ryan Nitti slams Central Florida.
Like, what is
jealous
the point?
Of UCF's
what is the point
intergalactic
of being, like,
success?
We own mm-hmm. space. Cool.
You so here's the position that Auburn's put themselves in, though. Not only are they attaching Auburn Mojo physically to a space vehicle, they are saying Auburn invented space, ensuring that they will receive no help from Orlando on the ground.
Yeah.
This is presuming that UCF has a space program and is not, as Stephen Godfrey is fond of saying, a degree mill for Hilton night managers. You can reach him at 38 Godfrey on Twitter.
That's deeply unfair to Hilton night managers.
Our UCF coworker isn't here today, so we're good.
I wish they were.
Please introduce them to Godfrey.
You can put him on the mic the so they can be like, nobody respects us. And I'm like, stop reading facts.
I got one of those yesterday, Spencer, from our Golic and Smetty conversation where Holly said that UCF was one of her teams that she has an eye on this season. And it was mm-hmm. a UCF fan saying Smetty disrespected UCF on Golic and Smetty. And I was like, I didn't even consider them. I don't think about you at all.
I don't hate you. I nothing you.
If your university is a playable skate park in Skate 3, you went to UCF.
I do have one thing I do want. This is not related to anything about UCF football.
Thank God.
I am uncomfortable with how different Gus looks when he doesn't have glasses and a visor. Like the Superman Clark Kent thing.
He kind of has
like,
a toad thing going on.
Where you're like, how is anybody possibly fooled that these are different people just because of the glasses? No, Gus, when he takes off the visor and the glasses, looks like 20 years younger, significantly happier.
Yeah. Despite like, having gray hair, and he's not doing the SEC Media Day's annual dye job thing. He looks younger having gone gray. But the weird thing to me is that I always assumed that in the upper echelons of that visor, there was just empty space. But he's kind of got a toad effect going on because it turns out the visor was just bisecting an incredibly tall head. Yeah. He's got like a Mars Attacks alien head. And he pulled off the visor. And you can see, first of all, the permanent divot from where the visor has rested for decades. But above it all was just like more head. And it's, where does this man's brain stop?
I'm a little worried at how good he looks quitting the Auburn job, because normally coaches, when they quit coaching, they gain 10 years of life and they look 10 years younger.
You said a word there that is not accurate. Gus Malzahn didn't quit the Auburn job. That's not what happened. Nobody quits the Auburn job.
It's a family.
Who is the last person who quit the Auburn job?
Yeah. So when he left
Auburn.
It's
like quitting the mafia. That's not how it works.
When Mr. Castellano retired from the mafia. Yeah, when you leave Auburn,
Gus turned state's witness, and
he
now
turned
is
state's witness, and he's retired to Florida, and he looks entirely different because he's in WITSEC. That's the entire UCF job.
Just for a moment, imagine the scenario where a coach voluntarily leaves the Auburn job. I can't even conceive of this happening.
Tommy Tuberville to run for president. Sorry.
Don't speak it into existence. Why?
It's happening. You said it.
The idea of Auburn claiming space, speaking of their coaches, is pretty harrowing right now, considering Brian Harsin was, sent here by aliens to defeat other aliens? Or what? Yes, they have so much lore.
Something like that.
The people of his, I don't even know what to call it.
Faith.
Group.
Situation.
So, I think... In terms of, I don't think, by the way, Gus can ever retire.
How are they not stealing relics, by the way? God damn.
We should all get into the stealing relics business, right? Like, it's
absolutely.
Only, yeah. Like,
normalize stealing relics.
Yeah. Yes. I think, so earlier, one of you brought up it should be okay to raid the antiquities in England.
England, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What I want is a movie where Nicolas Cage cracks into the British Museum. Liberates everything.
If he can use the British accent that he used for 20 seconds in National Treasure 2, Book of Secrets, I'm camping out for tickets.
Do you know how much money this would make in India? Oh my God.
Hire a Bollywood director. Yeah, let's go all out.
Yeah.
Yes. Why hasn't Nicolas Cage done a Bollywood?
A musical number where I'm stealing everything in London and sending it back to where it came from.
Trashing
the people
it.
Who own it. Yes.
Yeah. They call it shipping and receiving.
I understand that we have Mike working on something. Mike, have you completed this?
Yeah. Inspired by your conversation, I have put together a top five list. You know how we're known for our top fives. Top five college coaches that look divorced.
Oh man. I think it'd be easier to do the reverse.
That don't nope. look.
I like that he's shooting for the moon here. Let's go.
This could also be known as top five list of college coaches that are divorced.
Yeah. But... I actually think everybody on this list is divorced.
I mean, okay.
This could just be five coaches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we guessing this Family Feud style, or are you going to read them off?
We begin with the OLI, outside looking in. Chip Kelly and all the Stoops. Oh, every single last one of us.
Yeah.
Stoops.
Yeah.
Every single one. Bob, Mike.
I think Mike Stoops looks like he wants to get divorced, but won't pull the trigger. Just absolutely won't do it.
Mark Stoops, though, looks like pulled the trigger years ago. Don't regret it. My house has two lawn chairs and a PlayStation. I'm happy as a clam.
Rape my room, fellas.
Yeah, that is a walking male living space.
Have you seen how that Reddit community has become like this weirdly nurturing space lately?
Oh, male living spaces did a total U-turn. I checked it the other day, and like the top 10 posts are all like, "Hey, King, your living room looks great." Like they've all figured out how to actually decorate rooms together. It's kind of heartwarming.
Number five, Gus Malzahn.
Yeah, I can see that.
But he looks like it was... Listen, no disrespect to Christy, his lovely wife, but he looks like he got that good divorce. Like he got out of a bad situation, and he did. It was just professional.
Yeah. Yes. He's one of the rare coaches who is a wife guy, but yeah, I think the divorce from Auburn is what has so permeated his skin and his mind that he looks divorced.
He's the kind of divorce where he's like, yeah, me and the ex, we used to do a lot of substances, but I've cleaned up since then.
Cleaned up.
Bad influence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can I tell you the story about reality?
The only Burning Man in my life is Jesus now.
Wait, have you read the Bible? Never mind.
I don't think
that's so...
You should have gone Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
So I got
that is a theory.
And speaking of fireproof underoos, where is he? UCF.
That's right.
Space.
I have to tell you this: Gus Malzahn in real life, like he has no hobbies outside of coaching. So when he got to Auburn, he bought a boat. So he would just get up, like his wife would say, "You need to do something else." It'd like push him on the boat, and he would go out and just do circles in the boat and drive it back, and been like, "I have boated." Now football, and he'd just go right back.
It's like a sim. Yes.
No, he's like a sim.
Yes.
Like, Gus is all
you have to recharge his life meter and then put him back.
I have acquired leisure boat meter. Skill.
Full back to work.
Again, his wife, Christy, is a lovely and long-suffering woman.
Yeah. We'll have a conversation with that stranger. Okay. Balloon, thundercloud, pineapple.
Yeah, those play cards that you hold up on the side with emojis, that's actually just Gus talking to his kids.
That's what the inside of Gus's brain looks like.
Number four.
Number four, Jimbo Fisher.
Oh,
Jimbo's only four.
The top three is going to be ferocious.
There's, a divorce story about Jimbo we can't even tell on this show.
No, we can't.
No, we cannot.
The Christmas tree on the front lawn says it all, though.
If you, Jimbo looks like he's perpetually divorced. Like he's in the middle.
He's born divorced.
Yeah.
He's in a custody battle. Active custody battle.
Like he's the Sisyphus of divorce. Every day he wakes up.
That's Larry King.
No, but like he's in a custody. Yeah, never mind.
I also, in doing this list, I've also realized what an unfair advantage it is to wear a visor because literally everyone has one so far.
Is that the most divorced hat?
It's a divorce hat. Divorce hat.
Because there's nobody in your house anymore to tell you to put sunscreen on the top of your head.
Number three, Kim Mulkey.
That implies that anybody would marry her, to which I object.
Wow.
I mean, are Satan's handmaidens allowed to get married?
In some states.
That's a great picture of Kim Mulkey.
Number two, Tom Crean. And
Tom Crean was married to one of those women who like packed his lunch for him, and he doesn't even know where to find carrot sticks in the grocery store.
So I take two issues with this. One, Tom Crean's married to a Harbaugh. He's not getting out of that. He's not. Number two, Tom Crean looks the most divorce attorney. The kind of discomfort in his clothes at all time.
Can I kind of riverside that and say that Tom Crean looks an extraordinarily amount of divorced for being hella married?
Yeah, that's fair.
Actually makes a stronger case for him, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. We cannot let him get divorced. The divorce power would be too great.
Yeah, imagine Tom Crean. Okay, you know how somebody's going to have to play basketball against Brittany Griner after she gets released from Russian prison? Imagine Tom Crean's divorced energy if he actually gets divorced. There will be no containing it.
Tom has had a conversation with Jim and John where he said, you know, we're having some communication problems. I'm not sure if this is going to work out. And both Jim and John took their shirts off and said, if you can pin us both, you can break up with her. If you can't, 5 more years.
Yeah.
And every time, Tom just like, he doesn't have the core strength for it.
I want to know, by the way, going back, Jim Harbaugh was divorced at one point. Divorced Jim Harbaugh, that's an insane moment in life, is recently divorced Jim Harbaugh. Attacking the single scene with an intensity unknown to mankind.
What's his courting phase? Just going to Barnes asking if there's a woman in the house? I don't know.
I think it's probably has something to do with like donning a frilled crest, like a bird or a lizard.
I mean, given his recruiting style, he probably hired three guys to go find him.
Maybe he puts his hat on backwards.
Yeah. He's like, I'll coach her up. You guys go find him.
I have a feeling he was just showing up to Colts tailgates being like, you married? You want to be.
And damn. Number one, Mike Bray.
I don't think I know what he looks like.
Divorce.
I don't know
divorce.
How
that means we get to do a live eval. Yeah.
I don't know how that's possible, I can't pull up his... I'm having a Clay Helton moment right now. I can't pull up his face.
And the Mike Bray divorce look evolution is he went from mock turtleneck guy to buttoned down like, and then there was like the Mike Bray in Maui phase where he just took his shirt off and had a lay on in basketball shorts. He's completely changed
his
look.
The best thing about Mike Bray is like it really I don't think it matters how much effort he puts in the morning. It always looks the same. It always looks like he was at a bachelor party the night before and just slept in his clothes. Always.
My favorite.
I can't find an image of him wearing a tie, and maybe it's like he's basketball coach one. Without a tie suggests the been up all night thing.
I don't think he's ever worn a tie professionally, but my other favorite thing about Mike Bray is his book is called Keeping It Loose.
100%.
I think Mike Bray actually does put on a tie in the morning and then immediately loosens it because the stress of the day has already gotten to him.
He looks like a guy who simultaneously post-divorce started eating Papa John's for every meal, but also started going to hot yoga at 5 a.m. 5 days a week. And so, like, there's a balance here, but it's a balance that comes with real tension.
Yes, Mike Bray is if Rick Pitino went to therapy.
Oh, shit. Wow. Went to therapy for which? Went to therapy with the goal of... Wait. Went to therapy with the goal of moving in which direction?
To be the most self-actualized Rick Pitino.
Like, Rick Pitino is like, how could I be worse?
Went to therapy and still ended up number one most divorced.
Rick Pitino's like, I still really need to hone my craft.
Rick Pitino is off the most divorced charts here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, he's like, we retired him. He's first ballot Hall of Fame.
Listen, man, if John Calipari went to therapy, the therapist would be like in 15 minutes, be like, he's fine.
It's fine, and now I'm rich somehow.
Yeah, no.
I'm suspiciously wealthy.
The most divorced thing about Mike Bray, I'm on his Wikipedia page right now. Zero personal life section. Nothing.
Wow.
Zip.
Goals.
Does not exist.
Basketball Fantastic. Coaches make the big mistake of wearing suits. See, football coaches have an advantage over them because their lifestyle is appalling and their choices are bad and the overall welfare scale for them is very low. So they pretty much dress to match. The contrast between the suit, an indication of professional responsibility and generally being together with the actual physical state of most men's basketball coaches is the problem. It's like when John Wick is wearing a blood-covered suit at the end of the movie filled with bullet holes and torn and stabbed. That's what all basketball coaches look like,
so
right?
So you're saying John Wick should wear golf polos?
I'm saying John Wick would look a lot less stressed
if he was
in a tracksuit.
Moisture wicking. That's moisture where they wicking, got some yeah. name.
I'm sorry.
I think John Wick should dress like a baseball manager.
Oh, with high
exactly
socks?
The same as
yes.
his players.
High socks.
So the only absence from this list that I will note, because I think it's the most obvious one, is Dana Holgorsen.
Yeah.
Okay, no. That's another one, because this implies that Dana ever looks like he's been, and he has been, but this implies that Dana looks like he's ever been married.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, the miracle is that he was.
Can we change it
but
to
famously,
Dana?
Famously, Dana, the quote, by the way, sorry, Ryan, I'm just going to steamroll you because this quote is too good, but famously, Dana has said aloud, "Nobody's happy when I'm married."
I would like to propose that Dana Holgorsen is the most annulled looking cook.
What's annul? A what?
You mean 0-0? Yeah, that's how we start every Saturday.
You do a better Dana. Hey, well, y'all do a better Dana. Somebody else take this. Annulled.
Annulled. Dana is the most feral looking coach. If you wanted to know, like, which one
he's the
one.
Most feral coach.
Okay, so Mike,
it's not there. Ain't no looking in it.
Who is the least divorced looking coach?
Mark
in,
Riggs
in college sports.
We've been Mark kicking Riggs. That one around. Rick's a good one.
I think Marcus Freeman looks extremely married.
Really?
He doesn't look divorced at all to me, but it's also because he's never been married.
Ken Niumatalolo.
Marcus Freeman is very married. He has multiple children, but he also looks like a bachelor.
You don't have to be that married to have that many kids.
Lincoln Riley gives off big married pastor vibes. So I'm going to say Lincoln Riley.
I'm going to say Mike Riley.
I'm going with Ken Niumatalolo.
Mike Riley is the most married Riley. But also a rare case of someone that wears a visor occasionally that looks married.
Andy Reid is super married.
Wow. Yeah, I'm jealous of how good his marriage is.
That's a 50-year marriage looking guy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Dave Aranda.
Yeah.
Dave Aranda is awfully married.
Matt Campbell somehow looks pre-divorced, and I can't really explain that, but I feel like you guys know what I'm getting at.
He's shopping for a lawyer.
He looks like he signed a post-nup before he signed a prenup somehow.
I think Matt Campbell looks more long like, engagement.
He's like
really long, where it's like, you guys have been engaged for like 7 years. And he's like, yeah, you know, we're just waiting.
I'm really leveling off. He looks like this is, I'm trying to compare him to Mike Gundy, who looks like what I'm going to call quantum divorced.
Paul Chryst is the least divorced looking coach.
Oh yeah, that Paul man. Chryst. That man looks like he's like, she's got a plate waiting for me at home. I'm there at home by six.
I think.
Ooh, you know who has immense past, immense married pastor energy along with Lincoln Riley is Neil Brown.
Yeah.
I think paradoxically, Bill Belichick looks very non-divorced because that would require like leaving the football facility to fill out a piece of paperwork. Mm-hmm. It would require like being aware that he is married.
Bill, well, plus, when you see him in a sailing magazine, it's like, oh man, look at this dude.
He's got it together. Bill Belichick in the Vineyard Vines is
I do appreciate
off the charts
that
married.
Bill Belichick, when he shows up to the job where he is best known, makes the most money, and is getting the most attention, he's just like, fuck you, I'll wear whatever I want. But when it's like, you know, Hampton's Magazine time, buddy, the fits are coming out.
When it's time to look like you know what croquet is.
That's right.
Yeah, that's a man who went to Exeter.
All right, heat check me here. True or false, James Franklin does not look divorced, but has an extremely divorced personality.
And that kind of like occasionally he's
sounds
like, you hit a sensitive spot.
Divorced.
Yeah. Like occasionally you hit a nerve.
Told you not to bring that up again, Sheila.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also bad time management skills. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that what divorce is?
Kind of, when you think about it. Yeah.
Hope you don't find out.
Is that what marriage is? Good time
The time
management.
You spend, it's when you accidentally schedule the time that you spend with your lovers with the time you're supposed to spend with your spouse. That's that's bad time management.
Sure.
Right?
Sure. That's too many men on the field.
Antonio. Antonio Conte, by the way, if this is my EPL shout out, Antonio Conte, he looks neither married nor divorced. I have said for years that he looks like the priest in a soap opera who is in love with a married woman. That is it. Ooh. If you look, please Google a photo of Antonio Conte. You will see he looks like the guy who is like, Bella, I cannot.
That's Bob
for my
Bianco.
Only love is the Lord.
That's
and
Bob
the church
Bianco
itself.
As well. Bob.
I want that story, but I want Bob Huggins in that role. Like doing the accent and everything.
Mm-hmm. Just hitting the butt. Can't do it, sister.
Miss Goosey.
while wearing a tracksuit.
All right, please somebody release me from my anguish and do Dana speaking Italian. Come on, Ryan.
Absolutely.
It's just
not.
Brad Pitt.
Yeah,
and Inglourious Basterds.
Never mind.
Buongiorno. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Grazie.
Garlami.
Casino.
That's all it is. That's all it is. Anyone who says, by the way,
I bet he speaks flawless Italian. I bet Dana speaks like 17 languages of asking where to buy cigarettes flawlessly and no other words.
Cigaretto.
Unfiltered-o.
Duty-free Marlboro.
Marlboro, that's Italian, right? Sure.
Marlboro.
Chung and Zinar.
God, we got to bring back the Mirage Bowl so we can send her to Japan.
The Mirage Bowl, where Barry Sanders won the Heisman. That's my
Heisman.
Yeah, like Barry Sanders, in addition to like running for more yards than any human being on the planet.
Wait, can you still smoke indoors in Japan? Dana might love it there.
Oh, I bet. Listen, you cannot, but I bet there's multiple places in China where he can fire up indoors. I guarantee you.
Oh my God, I've seen the future. It's all laid out before me. Dana and Tillman are just going to take this baby
Macau.
Worldwide.
They're just going to Macau. That's where they're going, baby.
That's a musical.
Dana Holgorsen goes to Macau, the musical. I will actually attend that in theater. I'll be like, I found
my claim ticket, but I lost myself.
Scruff Pacific. That's what we're calling it.
I'm plowed in Macau off 24 beers. Yeah. This is, by the way, like Dana to his credit, is like is shockingly organized as a coach. Like, he runs
functional to the degree he has to be.
Like runs everything like clockwork. He's also, I think, hope for everybody who says that you have to sleep 3 hours a night in order to be a successful professional, right? Because he's like three. Brother, no way. We're not getting to the office till nine.
What is it, my birthday?
The dream, man. The absolute dream. And in demand. That's the best part. That man, go look, never been fired. Hasn't been fired. Who among us can say that?
I like he shows up in Houston and like usually the coach does the things. We're going to win the right way. We're going to do the academics. We're going to install the culture. We're going to blah, 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 blah. Hogo in his introductory speech at Houston said, we're going to win some games. That's it. That's the sales pitch.
Yes. And then in year one, made sure that practice did not intersect with what? The Houston Rodeo. That is correct. The biggest party in Houston in the spring, the rodeo, made sure that practice did not overlap that.
That and telling all his players, hey, we're taking this year off.
we're going to actually try in like 3 years.
Self-care.
That's like, can you imagine?
Not for COVID reasons, to be clear.
No.
Just like,
we'll come back when we're good at football.
That'd be great. Just, yeah, listen, we're going to come back when we're good at the full cast, y'all.
That's a form of emotional intelligence.
Sim season can be embraced in many forms.